So gracious God, King of Kings, may your presence in these words descend upon us today. May we hear with your ears and respond with your actions what you have for us today. We pray in the name of the great intercessor. Amen. Prayer makes a difference. Let me say it again. Prayer makes a difference. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. Jesus reminds us of this fact about why we should pray. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." God wants us to ask. God wants to hear our prayers. Prayer makes a difference. I've shared briefly from the pulpit and with some of you as we've shared, as we've gotten to know one another over the past several months, about my father's death in January of 2005. My dad was named John Spivey. 4 months before he died of kidney cancer, we had come to sort of this reluctant awareness and knowledge of his terminal illness. But he was still feeling okay. We had spent the first month of his illness kind of getting consumed with information. We had gone and done as many different opinions as we could get. We had even taken some help to try to make him feel better. And by the end of September of 2004, he was feeling pretty good. And the doctor said, "If you're going to do something as a family, you better do it now." And so on October the 4th of 2004, my father and my mother and our family were going to head to Gatlinburg for a final time together. We were going to leave early. And as our family was all getting ready and getting everything searched, you have to do when you have kids, my mom called. Something was wrong. And so we spent the whole day in the doctor's office and found out that he had begun to develop blood clots in his leg. But my dad, being the man he was, said, "I don't want this to stop y'all from your trip. Y'all go ahead and go." And so we traveled up to Tennessee into the mountains. We woke up on that Tuesday morning to a wonderful fall day in the mountains, like it's been here the past couple of weeks. And I remember we were sort of just taking our time of visiting the mountains. We had made our way into the national park up to Newfound Gap. And I remember as I was watching my kids play there on that place that Franklin Delano Roosevelt spoke when they entered the park, my mom called. They were back at the doctor. Something else was wrong. Now the blood clot had come to his brain. And they were worried about him. They actually were calling in hospice. And they said, "We need you to come back home." And by the time we got back home, I remember finding myself and my mom and my dad in the hospital in the doctor's office. And the doctor saying, "The blood now clot has actually caused your kidneys to fail." And in 3 days, we had gone from this part of he's feeling pretty good, we're ready for this trip, to he's going to be dying soon, to he's actively dying and he will die in the next few days. It changed our entire perspective about what this was event and what was going to happen. What do you do when you find out you're going to die in a few days? We started to pray. And prayer chains throughout the world began to pray for my dad by name and for his condition. They began to pray for him to get well. They began to pray for him to have more time. They prayed for him as a person. They prayed for us as a family. And as the world began to pray for my dad, people began to come by. And he would take time, even though he wasn't feeling well, to visit with family, with friends, because none of us knew that this was going to be the last time we might be able to see him. And then something amazing happened. My dad, who was dying and his body was deteriorating very rapidly, all of a sudden started feeling better. You see, prayer makes a difference. And then the next week, on October the 14th, just 10 days from the beginning of that ordeal, we celebrated a miracle. We celebrated my dad's 65th birthday. And we invited everyone who could come to come. Because he was supposed to be dead by that day, but he was alive. On that day, I wrote these words for a blog that I was writing for his family and for our friends. This is what I said. Dear friends and companions, this is what a miracle feels like. The day seems sweeter, fresher, and full of promise. Excitement fills the air. Laughter is contagious. The reality of grace and hope and love flow through you. You can't help telling others. It's like everyone needs to know about this. You realize the incredible power of each day, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. So we simply celebrate this day and its beauty and its promise. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's some scientific explanation for why Dad is feeling better and had a wonderful day today on his birthday, and why he continues to improve during the week. But for all of us who stood beside his bedside last weekend waiting for him to die, we understand the power of miracle. Many of the miracle images from the New Testament have been flowing through my mind today. Mary and Martha, as they watched Lazarus walk from the tomb and sit for supper. Jairus, as he listened to Jesus tell his daughter to wake up. The four friends on top of that roof as they watched their friends stand for the very first time. Miracle invades your life, and each day becomes new. You measure all things by this experience. This experience in prayer continues to shape my life. You see, prayer makes a difference. This type of prayer we're talking about, when we pray for other people, is called intercessory prayer. When we pray for ourselves and pray for our own needs and our own wants and our own hopes, this is called petitionary prayer, where we petition God for ourselves. And both of these extend out of that same calling that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Asking God's assistance in our lives and the lives of others, requesting God's intervention, remains primary in our lives because we are forever dependent on God. And the Bible is full of these types of prayers. The Lord's Prayer, which Tom beautifully signed a second ago, and which we'll talk about more fully in a couple of weeks, is mainly a petitionary prayer. Give us this day, we pray, our daily bread. Our scripture today in Psalm chapter 72 provides us a model of intercessory prayer. Look again at verses 1 and 2. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Most likely, this prayer was written for the king of Israel and was written for, first of all, by King Solomon. And we think because it has become such a prominent psalm that it was used in the coronation of each king that came upon the throne of Israel. And it represented the prayer of the people for the type of king they wanted the Lord to provide for them. The kind of king who would be led by God and would lead by justice and righteousness for the least of his constituency. And as each king came to power, these were the words they heard prayed for them and on their behalf. But here's the challenge. If you know anything about the history of the kings of Israel, following the Lord, let alone justice and righteousness, did not happen very often. King after king, including Solomon, often allow the excesses of their power to dim their willingness and their ability to follow Yahweh, to follow the Lord. They weren't able to judge with righteousness and with justice because they were not connected to the God who provided it for them. What happens when prayer doesn't make a difference? Does it still matter? For all of our answered prayers, like my father's on that October the 4th, 2004, there are still as many prayers that go unanswered. For some people, these unanswered prayers lead to a crisis of faith. It goes like this: if God can do anything, and if Jesus instructs us to ask and we shall receive, why doesn't God answer my prayers too? Why didn't my father have more time? And if we can conclude that if God doesn't answer our prayers, then God either, one, doesn't hear our prayers, or God doesn't care about us, or maybe God can't answer them. And either way, do we want to pray to a God who can't do these things? It leads to a crisis of faith. For some folks, unanswered prayers don't lead to a crisis of faith, but instead force us to reflect on the way that we ask. A few years ago, Marsha and I have been trying to teach Sydney. And by the way, whenever I use one of my children in a sermon, or my wife, I want you to know I've asked their permission. And the children get money. So Sydney's already gotten hers. But anyway, a few years ago, we were trying to teach Sydney the importance of asking God's participation in her life and even the smallest of details of her life. And so we were traveling one day, she and friends of hers, and we were traveling from Beaufort out to Hunting Island State Park, where we'd go to the beach. And by the way, we got to the out to the first set of bridges, it started to rain. And they were all starting to get kind of bummed. And Sydney was especially bummed. And I said, "Well, Sydney, why don't you pray about this?" And she thought about it for a second and said, "God, help it stop to rain, because my friends and I want to have a good time at the beach." We had to pass several islands to get out to Hunting Island. By the time we got out there and drove through the entrance to the state park, the rain had stopped, and it was a beautiful day at the beach. The next year, same set of circumstances, this time going to a water park in Charleston. We'd driven an hour and a half to get there. We drove through the entrance, paid our money, and it started to rain. And Sydney, remembering last year, said, "God, I want it to stop the rain. I want to have a good time at this park." And if by the time we walked through the gates, the rain had stopped. Well, sometimes we do this as well. We want God to pay a special attention just to us. You know, there's several sets of football fans today who are all praying for their specific teams yesterday. Some of those were answered, and some of them weren't. It begins to ask, what role does God play? And as we ask, you see, when these kind of things happen, when we see an instant response to our prayer, we begin to see prayer less as an avenue of connecting and trusting God and more of a magic wand that is at our disposal. So we begin to ask God, "God, do this. God, do this. God, do this." And God cares about the parts of our lives. But we begin to think that it's all about us, all about our desires, all about what is so connected to us, and fail to see sometimes the bigger picture of what God wants in our lives. When we approach petitionary or intercessory prayer as a magic wand for only our desires, or when we grow angry because we don't get exactly how we prayed to God, and we lead to maybe a crisis of faith. We often really fail to see that God is working in even the smallest venues of our lives. And we lose the purpose of these type of prayers, which is simply to trust. See, after October 14th, 2004, my dad still had cancer. The cancer had never gone. And it was still a huge tumor that was inoperable. And there was still no way for it to grow. And with all of those prayers and all the people around the world praying for him, that didn't go away. He lived and loved for another 4 months before cancer killed him. If our prayers are not always answered in the way we want, why do we pray? Where does prayer make the difference? Look over at Psalm 72 again. You see, king after king, the people of Israel prayed this prayer. And even after the fall of both the northern and the southern kingdoms, even after there was no more king to pray this over, the people of Israel still prayed this prayer for a king to come in righteousness and justice. And then over the years, Jesus arrived. And the Christian church began to adopt this same prayer as a reminder of how God came in Jesus as the King of Kings, the one who delivers righteousness and justice in our lives, who brings peace into the world. The willingness of the people of faith, trusting in God to pray this prayer over the years, open the doors for God to produce the true King, God's Son. It wasn't what they were expecting, or maybe even what they wanted, but it was what God knew would save the world. The history of the Psalm teaches us two lessons about intercessory prayer. How to merge this, how to help it make a difference in our lives and the lives of our family and our friends and the world. First is this: ask. The psalmist asked God for a king who will follow him. God wants us to ask him. When we say in our prayers that prayer makes a difference, I mean it. Because God wants us to be an active participant in all that God does in the world. And this begins with asking. God wants to tell him what we want. He wants us to express our deepest needs, our truest desires, our hopes, and even our fears, trusting in the deep goodness of who he is. We present our needs and the needs of others to a God who is already in full knowledge of them even before we ever ask. The psalmist reminds us in 139 that even before a word is on our tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. But God wants to hear it from us. We pray because we depend and trust on God's love for us. You see, God desires the best for each and every one of us. Can you believe that? God desires the best for you. Our prayers are not aimed at changing God's heart, because God already wants the best for us. His heart has been on our side from the very beginning. Instead, our prayers unite our side, our desires, to those things that God already wants to give us, but requires us to consent to be granted. But not only does God want us to ask, he also wants us to receive. He wants to receive, help us to receive what comes at the hands of God. When we ask God for help, we open our lives to His help. We must be willing to receive whatever God provides. By asking and receiving, we willingly yield ourselves to God. And we become active collaborators in the divine plan. We become full-time participants in God's creation. Asking, receiving. These are the keys to the prayers of intercession. They're not easy because they often run contrary to our natural tendencies. We ask, but we want what we ask for, not always what God is willing to provide for us. Richard Foster, in our book we've been reading for our Sunday school classes, gives a great metaphor for intercessory prayer. He says, God's way is higher than our way. His way is like the rain and the snow that gently fall to the earth, disappearing to the ground as they nourish it. When the time is right, up springs new life. No manipulation, no control, perfect freedom, perfect liberty. This is God's way. You see, prayer does make a difference. A little by a little, it settles into the heart of God, and when the time is right, God provides all that we need. And because God loves us, He wants us to trust Him to give us the best that we can. The question for us tonight, today, is this. Do we believe? Do we believe that God not only wants the best for us, but God wants the best for this church? You see, our future stories of our lives and the lives of this church will be built on prayer. Praying for one another. Praying for our community. Praying for the world. Praying for our enemies. Praying for our lost friends. Praying for our church leaders. In your worship guide today, you've received just a little extra page inside your worship guide. I labeled it as your personal prayer list. I want you to give this idea of making prayer, helping prayer make a difference in our lives by beginning to make a list of your own. Sometime today, maybe you do this during while we sing our hymn of invitation. Maybe you do this after the service today and you sit down and fill it out. Take time before you leave to write down your own prayer list and take it home and start praying each day for the people and the things on your list. Ask God directly and clearly because God wants to hear from you. And then receive the gifts that God gives back to you, trusting that He wants the very best for your life. And I pray that over the coming weeks, that you will take time to share with us what God is doing in your life. Write me an email. Send me a note. Stop me in the halls and tell me what God is doing as you begin to pray and to receive. God is moving in this church and inside of us. Let's take time to remember and to pray. Will you pray with me? Now, O God, give us the courage to ask You out of our heart's desire and the joy that comes in receiving the gifts that only You can provide. In Jesus' name, amen.